that we could find that as soon as faith is lost in the sense that it is consciously rejected as a problem of man, as human beings today frequently do, that at this same moment we see already reason impaired. It could be that this tremendous fall of man that occurred in modern times, namely the fall after he climbed to this height of rejecting all dogmas and suddenly fell into believing the most ridiculous metaphysical assumptions, namely pseudo-scientific assumptions of modern ideologies. Is it perhaps so that he lost a considerable part of his free reason the very same moment he rejected faith as a human capability and possibility absolutely? This is one of the problems of our whole course and one of the central problems, this relation between faith and reason, and we want to find out about it. One hint we can get for the solution of this question by Abraham and by the Abrahamic stories, and the most valuable hint, because if we ask the acid philosophical question, is it so that every religious belief, even if it is reduced to a nucleus of pure as possible faith, that all religious concepts we find in the world that mankind has produced, that all of them impair freedom? We know that most of them do. We know that all mythical religious concepts do not even allow for the idea of freedom of man. We know and can prove that most of the metaphysical religions that came later, mainly the religions of redeeming and salvation, also in their full development either make freedom impossible or restrict it. They also require very often and mostly a sacrifice of reason, as in early Christian thinking, Tertullian, thinkers like him, then again Luther, very obviously did. Namely, to say reason isn't worth anything, reason cannot help man, man should not apply reason, reason is deceiving. Or as an earl in the Middle Ages of the Catholic Church, that man, if he wants to come into faith and wants to believe, that then he has to bring the sacrifice of reason. This, of course, the philosophical mind of man could never accept. So if we ask the acid philosophical question, is it really so, then we and go into our research, then we find to our astonishment that there are two exceptions. The one is in a few sayings of Jesus of Nazareth that almost have not entered, at least not as dogmas, the Christian religion. And the other more obvious one is the faith that is revealed to us in the Abrahamic stories. We have seen that this faith in the one absolute, personal, transcendent God and in nothing else, accompanied by no belief, by no mystical customs or rites, accompanied by no superstitions whatsoever and by no dogmas, that this belief in the one absolute, transcendent, personal God, Creator, is a faith that neither impairs freedom nor does it impair reason, but on the contrary, if we assume Abraham to be a religious thinker, and we assume that because the text shows it clearly, the few words of the text show it, that God says, go out of thy country and go into a country that I will show to you. A new God is coming. Abraham has rejected all the other gods. That indicates clearly that the process of his thinking was a religious one and not a philosophical one in the first place. So if we take him serious as a religious thinker, then we must say, we have the proof here that one very astonishing event has happened once. Namely that by straight religious thinking, a concept of a possible divinity, I speak philosophically and they say therefore possible divinity, has been perceived, which neither impairs freedom nor reason, but on the contrary produced freedom and reason. Abraham taken as a religious thinker from now on, according to this concept of the one absolute personal transcendent God in whom he has faith, and assuming that this is the center of his thinking and of his discoveries. From this center on, he develops now an absolute clear-cut philosophical system of reasoning this thought out, and it leads him to a possibility of human behavior that creates free men in their full responsibility before God, in their own freedom, who use in order to establish justice on earth, that means to do their creative work, a process of constant reasoning with each other. So if Abraham is a religious thinker, and we have to assume that he is, then the proof has been given to us here that a religious thinker, if he drives his thinking so deep and elevates it so high, that he really comes to the only possible concept of divinity which could stand any acid critic of philosophy, because the philosophers have to say, we cannot deny that this God is possible. They can say of all other divinities created by man, we can deny that this kind of divinity is impossible, because we can show that it does not go with the reality of human freedom, reason, and other creative capabilities. We can show, so to speak, behind all of those concepts an ulterior motive, not behind the concept of Abraham. Here a religious thinker acted entirely out of one definite ultimate motive, and he built his whole life and thinking on this discovery. So we have proof, more proof than philosophers could hope for, that it is possible that by thinking merely religiously, if this thinking in faith, which is possible, namely thinking what could be the highest possible power, and discovering, like any philosopher of those we consider discovered also, the human possibility of transcendence, that by this discovery in the religious realm, in the religious, the capabilities of reason, the fact of human freedom, are let open at once, are opened up. No contradiction, but relation. This is a unique fact in all history of religion and in all religious thinking. The fact has been repeated once, repeated I can only say, and in a lesser way, by a German mystic thinker, Meister Eckhart, who born into the religion, the Catholic religion, and starting in it as a thinker, philosophical thinker, managed to get rid of one dogma and one belief of the other of the Christian religion, becoming a very heretic in his German writings, not in his Latin writings, where he was obeying the church very much. And finally, dived down into pure faith and came to definitions of pure faith that are very much alike the Abrahamic original religious vision, because it happened to him to find that there is no other possible relation of the absolute God to anything in the cosmos except to the human person. That the only communication that can take place is in the mind or the soul of man. With that he reduced himself by thinking to a position of pure faith. I quote that only, I show that only as a parallel in order to fortify this first original process of consequent religious thinking that Abraham was engaged in. Now let's check that. If that is true, then it must be possible to assume that Abraham was not a religious thinker, that Abraham was a philosophical thinker who started by reasoning out the ultimate questions the real philosopher always puts to the world, namely, what is the meaning of being? What is the value of life? And who is man? The threefold ultimate question of all human philosophy. If we must be able to assume, though it is not true, we see that it is true that Abraham was a religious thinker, but we must be able to assume that he was a philosophical thinker, and go the other way, and then be able to show that if he had gone the philosophical way, he would then have come transcending reason, if he wanted to transcend reason, exactly to the same concept of this one personal transcendent absolute God to which he came in the first place as a religious thinker, deriving from it all the other positions. So we assume that now. That means we assume Abraham to be a very modern philosopher, namely a philosopher who was able to doubt the existence of divinity at all. That means who rejected faith. He, the father of faith, we assume to be now the first, so to speak, full-minded, atheist, nihilistic, philosophical thinker, who would have said, seeing all those beliefs and religions here, I don't see any value in them. And I don't see any value in religious thinking whatsoever, and in the assumption that gods or divinity exists. Let's first look, as Socrates later did, as we will see when we come to him, let's first look into man. Him we know at least best, with him we can talk. Let's see if we can get at a concept of the meaning of being, the value of life, and the answer to the question, who is man, by merely considering man's position in being, in the world, in existence. He would have then been forced to lie on his own experience. His own experience is clear to us from texts. This man was an outstanding personality who took tremendous risks. He was of the opinion that justice, righteousness, can be established on earth by man, that man is a creative being. He, this other Abraham, this atheistic Abraham I'm talking about now, he tried to prove that to himself in the rest of his life. He never broke it, he concluded covenants and never broke one of them. He came to the conclusion that man, to a certain degree, is a creative creature. He is something absolutely unique in the world, something that distinguishes him from all other beings. He is, to a certain degree, creative. That means he can, to a certain degree, become the master of the future. He is able to say, this will happen the day after tomorrow, and it will happen because he will make it happen. He can do that in community with other human beings. He can create a society on this mutual trust. This atheist Abraham has nothing but the experience of the possibility of trusting himself that he experiences. He finds out he can trust himself. He gives a promise and he keeps it. And after he has done that many times, he found out, this atheistic philosopher, that man has the capability to develop trust in himself, a person. That then he can go on and try others to win for the same performance, taking more tremendous risks, of course, than he did with himself, but taking those risks and finding out, in the story of Abimelech, for instance, when he had given in, that Abimelech is coming back and suddenly sees there is a strange quality in this man, namely, men can trust this man. Who is that? Who is that man? And here Abraham gets already his answer. Who is man? Man is a being that is distinguished from all other beings in the cosmos, is not contained in them, can transcend them all, has a possible relation to something absolute. By establishing this relation to something absolute, which of course justice is, something absolute, something which he will never know, but which he can do and infinitely approach in doing so, by exercising this relation to the absolute, he gets the idea of the absolute as an atheistic philosophical thinker. Having gotten that and found that he has those strange capabilities, God has promised him nothing. We have the atheistic Abraham. But he has found himself rewarded to a very strange extent. He has won the trust of all the human beings around him. He starts to lead a very happy and creative life. Everybody, wherever he comes into strange countries, is impressed by the tremendous character of this personality. He knows he is such a personality. He sees it. And then finally, towards his end, this atheistic Abraham asks, being a very consequent philosopher, still working within reason and by nothing but reason, asks himself the consequential question, And I, this creative creature, this wonder of being that every man is, this free being, this reasonable being, this transcendent being, with this tremendous creative power, I have not made myself. This all is given. I have been given to myself, as Professor Jaspers, the modern existentialist, would formulate it, who tries to go through nihilism also to faith, and has therefore a little bit of the same experience that Abraham, if he had been an atheist, would have had. I am joking now. But the formula is the same. He must have come in straight philosophical performance if he only kept true to reason. And one thing we know of Abraham, he could keep true to himself, to men, to everything, especially to God as a religious thing. If he only had kept true to reason, even an atheistic Abraham, and only an atheistic Abraham, would have come to the conclusion, facing the fact that all that what he achieved was faith. Namely, that he was able to trust himself and experience, to trust others, would have led him to the formula, and that all I can only have gotten if there is one instance, one thing to which I transcend, one absolute, in which I can have absolute trust. And absolute trust is faith. Because absolute trust can no human being invest in the world, he doesn't know it enough, in anything, neither in anybody. Absolute trust can only be given to the absolute. And this absolute, then, he would have had to conceive of, this philosophical thinker Abraham, as of personal quality. Because he himself is a person, has personal qualities, let's say, because men have other qualities too, physical, biological, mental, and personal qualities. But going by those central qualities that distinguish men from all other beings, he would have found the idea of the human person. And the idea of the human person, by the little jump only he could have made, which Kierkegaard requires, would have become the idea of the one transcendent, absolute, permanent, a personal God. Because this God is the first God of man. And this Abraham is the first man of this God of man. So the consequent humanistic philosophical reasoning could have led him, only adding a transcendental jump to it, as well to this concept, outstanding and singular and highest concept of divinity, as his thinking in faith has led him. Here we see the first point where faith and reason not only contradict each other, but lead to the same results. We will have the second point of an experience like that in the thinking of Jesus of Nazareth, as far as we consider him then as a thinker, also as a religious thinker, but as a thinker, not as, of course, the Son of God, because otherwise we would not be entitled to talk about him at all. This is the significance of the Abrahamic story. This point that reason and faith are here so near together that their common result could have been reached both ways, by pure reason as well as by pure faith. We know that it has been reached by pure faith. Now let me remind you of that. We know that it has been reached by pure faith. That means by straight religious thinking, which proves already one point, or gives us at least a hint, that straight religious thinking, namely religious inner experience, experience of pure faith, seems to be an original human creative capacity. That it is not that way, that we as philosophers can reclaim all the truth that is in the different religions by saying those things have really unconsciously been reached, those results, by a muddled philosophical thinking. There are great truths in it, and we will extract those truths now for the sake of philosophy. It seems not to be that easy. There seems to be, at least in this Abrahamitic religion, a grain of a result which we cannot claim for philosophy alone. It seems to indicate that there is a way to come to a point of absolute creative human behavior and dignity by merely sincere religious thinking, and without the help of philosophical thinking. This is a problem, and we will pursue this problem. But it is here. It is indicated in those stories, and we have to keep it in view in order to find a better approach to our main problem, which is the relation of freedom, faith, and reason, or freedom, faith, and truth. We have here this point where faith and reason do not contradict each other, but clearly help each other, do not impair each other, but clearly enhance each other. That is the outstanding quality of the thinking performance of the religious thinker Abraham. Now the religion itself, the so-called Abrahamitic religion, that means the performance of this faith in the Abrahamitic tribe, which has not endured long. The Jews needed another religion, the Mosaic religion, and for good reasons. It is another purpose to approach the concept of the personal God who only communicates with persons, with human persons, as he clearly does in the Abrahamic stories, and the concept of a God who communicates with a chosen people of this. It is another purpose to try to build the fundaments of humanistic human relations, reasonable in reason and in faith, personal relations, or to try to build a nation. There is no indication of sin in the Abrahamic story, and that means, politically speaking, that there is no indication of law. There is no higher force that is imposed on men. It is not necessary yet. The Abrahamic story are pre-political, so to speak. But they have in them perhaps the greatest political dream in their pre-political fashion that has been ever dreamt.